Yo, what's up? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Monday, Donktober 26, 2020. I'm one of your hosts, Blessing Adeoye Jr. Joining me is Tim motherfucking Geddes.
Dude, okay, first off, it's the end of Donktober. I can't believe it. It's crazy, blah, 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 all that stuff,
yeah.
We just had a whole bunch of technical issues that Kevin totally handled and everything's great. But right before we relaunched the show, he said, Tim, Bless, are you ready? And we're like, yeah. He's like, you want me to launch this pony? And Bless just goes, yes, launch the pony. What the hell do we do here?
If you're not watching the show live, you're not really watching the show, because, man, the last 5 to 10 minutes of content, I think, is gold star worthy. Kevin,
it is.
You're getting the gold star that Tim gave you before the show. I'm not giving you an extra one. The gold star that Tim said he'll give you during before the show, I want to award you right now. And so you get a gold star.
Okay, go ahead.
I'm announcing it because people who are watching the show later might not realize that you just got a gold star.
You got to keep the record straight.
Okay, that's two gold stars today. Is that what you're saying?
No,
what you're saying? Yeah, that sounds like what you're saying.
Nope. That's why earlier I said, Kev, don't go too far. I'm only doing this with purpose.
Just as a side note. And like, I didn't mean to do that one.
I hate him, Bless. I fucking hate him.
Tim, shut up. This is actually important, and this is to you.
Okay.
I'm requesting it now. Can we get a Christmas theme intro? Because I fucking love this Halloween themed intro.
I agree.
I love it. I love it's my favorite. One. Only Blessing loves it more.
Exactly. No, yeah. I mean, that's why I commissioned it, because I knew people would love it.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I just want to commission it now, so that as soon as fucking Thanksgiving happens, we can get over and be ready to rock and roll. Not 10 days beforehand.
I'm going to say this now before, you know,
you turn off your vacuum, Arstroll.
I'm going to say this now before anything starts up. You know, I've been very hype on this King of Halloween business. It's been a great month of
Blessing,
content.
You be careful.
Listen to me. I will not engage in any King of Christmas activities.
Yep,
I am not a part of that battle. I like Christmas, but as much as everybody else likes Christmas.
Thank you very much. Right. If anyone wants to start some shit with me and Gary, I will happily make him King of Christmas if I can be the Prince of Christmas.
Okay, but
there
then, Kev, I don't know. I think you have a good run for the King of Christmas. Like,
I mean,
You just commissioned a Christmas intro.
In front of everyone, so there's no question about who commissioned what, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Will there be a Christmas tree behind me in view? I think it's very possible.
Oh, snap. Tim, this morning, at Sony on Twitter, tweeted this. 20 years ago today, PlayStation 2 launched in North America. What's your favorite PlayStation 2 game? And I want to start off with this, because I didn't even realize that one, today's the anniversary, but then two, it's been 20 years since the PS2.
Okay, I want to say something, Blessing. Here you are, the king of Halloween. You're a co-host on PS I Love You, XOXO. And I wanted to call you out right now, because guess what? I didn't get a PS5. You got a PS5. And that PS5 could have been my PS5. Technically, I think it was my PS5. And I was like, no, I need to give it to the new face of video games. He deserves this. He's been doing all this hard work. How are you telling me you didn't wake up on this fine Donktober 26th and just know in your heart that it is the PlayStation 2's anniversary? I will never forget this date, Blessing. Never. Never.
October 26th.
Yes, the date PlayStation 2 came out.
What are your favorite PlayStation 2 memories? Because PlayStation 2 I'll probably put up there as probably my favorite console. Yeah, I'll put it up there.
I mean, it's in the race for sure. Like,
yeah,
it's
my top two.
It felt like it lasted a long time. And you know what? Maybe it was just because of my age. Like, that coming out October 26, 2000, I was in sixth grade. So, like, that was my middle school, high school experience was the PlayStation 2. And those are some formative gaming years, you know?
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. So, in terms of memories, I mean, I have a whole memory card full of them on the PlayStation 2. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah, you do.
I got 8 megabits worth. Megabytes? I don't fucking know. But they're all there. The 8 MBs, all right?
Yeah, the 8 MBs.
Let's just talk about how sexy that PlayStation 2 is. Like, that
Which one are we
is
talking about? OG?
Just the OG PS2.
OG big boy.
The big boy, that black, that blue. Oh my God, that color combo was hot.
The disc slot sliding out. I miss that. Right. Mm-hmm. Like I miss pressing that bottom button, that smooth eject and that smooth. Were you the type of person that pushed it back in with your hand, or did you press the button for it to go back in? I gotta know.
I mean, if I'm being honest, I'm pretty sure I was a hand guy. Yeah.
Yeah.
The other thing is I never turned the PlayStation 2 off the way that I think you're supposed to. Like, oh, I always used the back thing.
The back button. Yeah.
Yeah. It just felt right. Because that back then I was so used to other consoles where it's like there's an on switch, there's an off switch, right? It's usually the same switch. But like the idea of like a rest mode, the idea of like different colored lights meaning different things. It confused my feeble brain.
No, yeah, but I'm right there with you. Plus, you save time pressing that back button. That might be the reason why, you know, later on, multiple PlayStation 2s of mine broke. But, mm-hmm. you know, I'm just going to blame that on the disc reader, because the disc, I always got the thing of you turn on the PlayStation, you wait a second, and you get like the red coloring, and it's like PlayStation 2 disc cannot be read. That was always the error that I ended up getting mm-hmm. later on, sadly.
Sorry about that. I have great news. The commission has worked, and we do, in fact, already have a song for the Christmas intro.
That was very fast. Shout out to whoever did that. Before we move on.
I'm accidentally playing it. But if you want, I can purposely play it.
Yeah, I would like to hear
play
this. Kevin.
I want to know what this is.
All right. Okay, it's very loud. The chat is being all dramatic about. Sorry. Oh, it's very loud. Hold on. Why is it so loud? Can you hear it?
Oh, how did we get that so fast?
The internet, man. Plus the internet.
Where did that come from? How do we have that?
I'll tell you for a star.
Oh my god. Why do you say that so creepy? God, there's an energy to this show.
We're doing a great job.
Before we move on, Tim, top three PlayStation 2 games, go.
Oh, that's way too hard. That's way too hard. Like, I don't know if I can actually rank them. Come but on, in terms Tim. Of just like, I think PS2, what do I think? I'm thinking Vice City, I'm thinking Final Fantasy X, and I'm thinking Metal Gear Solid 2.
Sons of Liberty, woo! Best one of the
Those man. Are the first to come to my mind.
That's a great three. The first for me would probably be Metal Gear Solid 3, GTA San Andreas, Shadow of Colossus. I'm going those three for my top three. PlayStation 2, what a console.
I'm going to give you another challenge. Three, a bit more obscure.
Like I'm not obscure talking like top obscure, three.
But I'm just saying like ones that like aren't the ones that we just named that are so obvious.
NBA Street 2. NBA Street Volume 2. Mm-hmm. Red Faction.
Check your focus.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, number three. Oh, I can go so many places. Number three. Damn, this is difficult.
Mm-hmm. Uh-oh.
Oh, no, what happened? We're just paired. I'm going to go
Everyone's
Burnout
back.
3 count.
Fine.
I know Burnout 3 isn't that obscure, but I'm going to Burnout 3.
That's totally fine. Yeah, because I would just go Need for Speed Underground, Amplitude, and Kinetica.
I knew you were going to say that.
It was good.
Spider-Man 2 also. Spider-Man 2 is up there for me. We're going to talk about this maybe more in the post show. We got to find an avenue to talk about this.
Okay.
Maybe there's games cast potential there. I have no idea. But for now, let's talk a little bit more about some PlayStation, because today's stories include a PlayStation launch game getting delayed, Greg Miller's Fortnite dreams coming true, and Facebook making Oculus worse, because this is Kind of Funny Games Daily, each and every weekday at 10 a.m. live right here on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. We run you through the nerdy news you need to know about. If you're watching live, you can correct us when we get stuff wrong by going to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong. If you don't want to watch live, you can watch later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, roosterteeth.com, or you can listen later on podcast services around the globe by searching for Kind of Funny Games Daily. To be a part of the show, patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, or bronze members or above get to write in, and silver members or above get the show ad-free with the exclusive daily post show. Housekeeping for you, Doctober episode 3 with me and Barrett is available right now on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, so go check that out. The finale to it all is going down this Saturday, and we have dubbed it Donkoween, and so tune in twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames at 12 p.m. Pacific time. Let me tell you, I know Donktober, right? It's a celebration of Donkey Kong 64. Celebration on I guess just all things Donktoberfest. What a game for boss battles. Me and Barrett kind of had this realization this last episode that every boss battle in DK64 is great. Say what you will about the platforming and everything else in the game. The boss battles, oh my God, masterful. So if you want to see us go through some of the boss battles in the game, again, youtube.com, so it's Kind of Funny Games. Part 3 is out now. Thank you to our Patreon producers, Tom Bach, Muhammad, and Blackjack. Today we're brought to you by Amazon Alexa, Upstart, and Hims, but I'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin with what is, and forever will be, the Roper Report. Starting with our number one. This morning, woke up, looked at my Twitter feed, and oh my God, Destruction All-Stars has been delayed from the PlayStation 5 launch. I'm pulling this right up directly from the PlayStation blog that says, "Hi everyone, we wanted to share a quick update on our plans for Destruction All-Stars. We decided to move the game's release from November 2020 to February 2021, where it'll be included for 2 months in PlayStation Plus at no additional cost. Destruction All-Stars is a multiplayer game that is at its best when you're competing with gamers online from all around the world. We want as many people as possible to experience the mayhem on PS5, and what better way to do that than to provide our game to PlayStation Plus members. Next week, we'll return with a brand new trailer and more details on the game, so you'll know exactly what to expect when you download it in February. This may be disappointing news for some of you who are looking forward to playing the game at launch, but we hope you understand the decision. For those of you that have already pre-ordered the game, be it via PlayStation Store, PlayStation.com, or at retail, your purchase will be refunded. Thank you for your continued support. We look forward to seeing you in the arena in February." Tim, motherfucking Geddes, what is your response to this?
This is fantastic news. I think that this is not only going to give this game the best chance that it possibly has, but I also think that it is going to kind of allow the PlayStation library, the PlayStation 5 library, to have different beats in our lives, because this game was going to get overshadowed. There's so many games coming out at launch. There's so many PlayStation exclusive experiences happening around the launch of the PS5 that there's no way that this game would have stood out. No matter how good it ends up being. Hopefully it ends up being good. I think this, having that February spot, kind of gives it its own place and time to kind of have a moment for people to discuss it and to give it a shot. The fact that it's PlayStation Plus, which essentially means free for PlayStation owners, is very enticing as an idea and a concept. I think it was Imran I saw tweeting about this morning, where he was talking about, like, PlayStation has trained its audience to expect a full price game to mean this crazy epic single player thing. They don't really focus on the multiplayer side of things too much. So for them to dabble into this type of, you know, different type of gaming, I think that especially for a game that we haven't seen anything of or haven't seen much of compared to some of the other games, like even with Sackboy Adventure, we got a little bit more of that in the UI video that PlayStation showed off, right? I think that this is a very good spot for it. And I think that by the time we hit February, you know, we've been talking a lot about when's Ratchet and Clank coming out. I don't think February. I think March. I think April, you know, but I think February is going to have that kind of lull of not having a new PlayStation title. We're going to get PS5s. We're going to beat Miles Morales. Then we're going to try Sackboy. We're going to try Astrobot, right?
Yeah.
We're going to try, like, the different experiences. Then, of course, there's the third-party games that we're going to be playing for the rest of the year. What about January? What about February? I think this is, like, a perfect fit for this type of game.
Yeah, I think this is genius. Like, this feels like a small blow to the PlayStation 5 launch lineup, but in every other regard, such a smart move. And for a generation where launch lineups, I think, have meant the least that they ever have met, you know, when compared to previous launch lineups. Like, you can get a PlayStation 5 at launch and have access to your PS4 library, the PlayStation Plus collection, the games that are already there, right, from Spider-Man and the other launch lineup games. You have third-party games that'll be there, Assassin's Creed Valhalla, and then Cyberpunk the next week. A launch lineup has meant the least it has ever met in terms of what it means for the console. Like, the PS4 launch lineup, those are the games that you're playing on that console. Same with PS3, same with PS2. I know PS PS2 and PS3 both are backwards compatible, but this generation more so than previous ones, you have access to such a large library through digital.
But a key thing there is they were backwards compatible, but they weren't enhanced.
Yes.
They were just playable. This is the first time that we're getting a generation where old games are new again. And we have already seen it with our own eyes with Xbox Series X. I see Jeff Grubb in the chat too. I watched this weekend a video he put up of a bunch of older Xbox games playing in 4K with HDR with all this stuff. And it's just like, it's so cool to see this new life being pushed into this giant library of like 1,000 games, you know? And what's that going to look like on PlayStation? We'll have to wait and see. We don't know yet, or at least we can't talk about it yet.
Wait, Tim.
But what's up?
So, old games, not old?
I hate you so much, Kevin.
Wait. You know what I mean? Like old games, old. But now old games, new again?
Hey, man, I don't make the rules.
Old games are made new again. Yeah. No, when we're looking at Destruction All-Stars, right, I think you hit the nail on the head too, as far as we don't really know much about this game. For a game that is $70, like who is showing up to actually buy this thing? I think the only reason why you would want to show up to buy Destruction All-Stars at this point is because you're like, okay, I'm buying a new PlayStation 5 and I want games to play. And when you look at previous launch lineups, right, like look at the PS4, Killzone, Shadowfall, well, Killzone has a fan base, and so maybe that's a bad example. But like when you look at games that were out on the PS4 launch, right, and games that might have been lower key, Resogun, I think you identify as a game that is an amazing game, but is also synonymous with the launch of the PS4, and that boosted its notoriety because people were able to look at that and be like, all right, there's not much for me to play. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna go check out Resogun. Destruction All-Stars in a launch lineup where there's nothing else to play, I understand why it would be there. At a launch lineup where there is everything else to play, then yeah, this seems like such a smart move for Destruction All-Stars, especially given that it seems like they're trying to make this game the next, let me not say that they're trying to make it the next Rocket League or the next Fall Guys, but they're trying to give it that potential, right? Yeah. Like I'm still at the place where I'm like, I don't know if this is gonna blow up anywhere near the level of Rocket League, because Rocket League is its own beast. But even like a Fall Guys or the other games we think of when we think of these games that came out of nowhere, the launch free on a service that were able to build an audience and have a movement, this is poisoning it for a best case scenario of being successful and being able to put it in a place where pretty much the whole audience of PlayStation users, PlayStation Plus users, are able to jump into it at no cost. Mm-hmm. That is going to give this game the best boost possible. For an online game, especially, which is going to thrive off of its player base and how that thing looks in the future. I got a question here from Lucid Dream, who writes into patreon.com, so it's kind of funny games, and says, do you think the delay / PS Plus inclusion for Destruction All-Stars was entirely based on potentially soft pre-order numbers? Thanks. And I'm sure that's not where the whole decision came from, but I'm sure a big part of that decision did come from, hey, people are not pre-ordering this thing. And you probably at a certain point sit down and start to figure out why and go, oh yeah, full price for this game doesn't necessarily make full price for this game at launch where there are other things to play doesn't necessarily make the most sense anymore for this type of game.
It's really interesting, actually. That's a question that I would love to know the actual answer to of why this happened. Like, it's kind of bizarre that we are literally weeks away from when this would have launched to get this type of news, right? Like, if this had happened way earlier, it would have been like, oh, okay, cool. But the fact that we're this close, there must have been some like real last minute decisions being made. Like, this to me, I'm not basing this totally off of nothing, but just having seen how this stuff has worked in the past, this to me kind of, I would bet that there's somebody that was really pushing from the beginning for Destruction All-Stars to be free and to be, or part of PlayStation Plus. And I think that they have eventually got enough evidence to be like, look, no, this is the best case. And pre-order numbers probably did have something to do with that. Because I would be surprised if many people were pre-ordering this game besides the people that were forced to get the GameStop bundles.
Yeah, no, exactly. I got another question here from Ayub from Ottawa, who writes in and says, good decision. I legit have no idea what this game actually is, and it costing $70 when I could instead buy more known titles like Miles Morales, Demon's Souls, or Sackboy is just sending this thing out to die. Especially for multiplayer games, they need larger player bases to survive. You've seen great success from multiplayer games available on day one on PS Plus, like Fall Guys or Rocket League, and I hope this game is successful too, as it looks cool, and I like seeing new IP in this industry. My question is this. Is this the new way multiplayer games should come out? Free on services like PS Plus or Game Pass, eventually leave the service and charge $20 or so, and fund itself through microtransactions. Will every new multiplayer game release in this method from here on out? As someone who played a lot of Rainbow Six, it's interesting how even that almost five-year-old game just got released on Game Pass. It's never gone free-to-play, but Ubisoft saw it fit to retrofit one of their successful titles to work within this model. Keep fucking that chicken. Bless is the true Halloween king. I think this is a really interesting question as far as multiplayer games and the future of their release models, because I think over this last generation, that's kind of been a thing that we've seen grow and evolve. And I'm not in a place where I think that solely multiplayer games shouldn't come out at full price. I think it is like a case by case basis, like a Destiny 3. Actually, I wouldn't be shocked if a Destiny 3 came out free to play, but something along those lines, right? Like, we've seen Destiny 1 and 2 come out over this last generation and be full price. And I think those come out full price justifiably so, because the gameplay is fantastic. The content is there. There are multiple game modes, right, that you're putting in 80 hours into. Marvel's Avengers being another one where I understand why that game would come out full price, especially when you have these DLC expansions that are coming out post-launch, that are coming out either for free or I'm not even sure what the whole post-launch plan of Marvel Avengers is, whether or not the future DLC characters are all going to be free or not.
They are.
In a case like that, I think it makes totally sense for those games to come out and be full priced. In other situations, like a Rocket League situation where you are coming out of left field for all intents and purposes, and you are looking for a player base to be invested from the get-go, and you're looking to build in that way so that you can monetize off of post-launch content, I think it makes sense to come out at a discounted price, or even free-to-play, or even on a PlayStation Plus, or something along those lines. And I think we're only going to see that grow and evolve, and I think we're going to see a lot of developers play with that spectrum of what is right for our game specifically, and how do we capitalize on that?
Totally. And I think that PlayStation Plus and Xbox Game Pass are going to be two really, really big proponents of this, because if the games are being put on there, debuting on there, people that have those services have access to those games, and they're being promoted to them in a major way. Those are the people that already have online, right? Mm-hmm. Like, those are the people that are like able to play these games, and the community's built in. It's already there. They know that there is a user base. So I think we're going to see a lot more of this, but I think you're right, Blessing. I think that there's going to always be the full priced multiplayer titles that have a different kind of sales strategy when it comes, or monetization strategy when it comes to getting people to play long term. But I wouldn't be surprised if we start seeing less and less of the Avenger style releases. But we'll see. I mean, Avengers is still in a weird place right now where I wonder where that game's going to be in a year from now, like 2 years from now, 3 years from now, right? Like, I imagine that it's going to be supported, but to what extent? How many people are actually playing? At what point do they change their business model and make it more like this, where the game is free, but new characters after a certain point are paid or something? I don't know. But I think there's going to be a lot of adapting and changing as we go on.
Nanobal just writes into You're Wrong. It says, only paid items for Marvel's Avengers post-launch are the battle passes, which are all aesthetic upgrades and resources you can get in the game. And so there you go. Story number two, sticking on the same PlayStation discussion. Travis Scott has joined PlayStation. I'm again reading from the PlayStation blog. Today, we're excited to announce Travis Scott has joined the PlayStation family as a strategic creative partner.
Why not?
We heard Travis is a huge PlayStation fan, so we started a conversation with him that led to this unique partnership. Through our mutual passion for gaming and creativity, we plan on collaborating with Travis and his Cactus Jack brand to produce innovative projects that we hope will delight our collective fans. Travis is an artist who is incredibly innovative, constantly surprising, and continues to push boundaries, very much like the PlayStation brand. So we think this is a perfect fit. When we embarked on this collaboration, the most important thing was to keep it as open as possible, to allow space to explore interesting, creative ideas. Travis's deep knowledge and fond memories about PlayStation as a brand, our products, and games will inspire his work with us from start to finish. He's an amazing creator, and we strive to work with the best creative minds inside and outside of our industry to continue to surprise the world in a way that only PlayStation can. Tim, what's your take on this one?
I mean, whatever. It's marketing. It's weird. Yeah. I don't like some of the phrasing in there is just so bizarre. Like, we heard Travis is a huge PlayStation fan. Who the fuck's not?
Yeah.
like sure. No, you heard that Travis Scott has a ridiculous reach and anything he touches turns to gold, where he's somehow just become the biggest sellout in the world and everyone's just so down. I wish I could do that. I wish I could be Travis Scott. I want to be Travis Scott, bless. Why can't I be Travis Scott?
I mean, I'm with you there. Travis Scott, I almost feel like this is bigger news on the Travis Scott side of things than the PlayStation side of things. I think it's interesting on the PlayStation side of things to see them collaborate in this way, because I like weird moves like this. I like them reaching out to creative people to like invoke freshness in the brand, as corporate speak as that is. Like, you know, I'm not necessarily the biggest fan of when PlayStation seems inaccessible and when they seem very much like a, hey, we do one thing and that is make great first party games that are these third person action games and that's it. We don't have our personalities. We don't have any like weird quirkiness. We are what we are, and that is this powerful gaming brand. I like what this does for that, right? Like I like the trailer that they showed off on Friday that was the different folks who had worked on the PlayStation 5 architecture, mm-hmm. And them like doing like the cool pose and like wearing the Nike sneakers, and then yeah, the Travis Scott video of him sitting in front of the TV getting blown away. I'm like, okay, that is what I want to see, because that is cool, and that is that speaks to me, right, as somebody mm-hmm. who is a fan of hip hop and somebody who likes Travis Scott. On the Travis Scott side of things, I'm with you. I want to be Travis Scott, because Travis Scott does all the cool shit. He gets partnerships with Fortnite, partnerships with McDonald's. He had the Travis Scott meal. Now he's with PlayStation as a creative partner. And it's like, that is power. That it's is like insane. A lot of power. No one man should have all that power.
Totally. You know? Totally, man. It's well said. So, Kevin, I sent Assets a link that I'd like you to bring up. Yeah, you bring up Travis Scott partnering with McDonald's. The man had his own combo meal. Like, yeah. That you do not get more powerful than that, right? And he put out a whole line of Cactus Jack McDonald's merch, and of course, because of the culture that we have, that shit sold out instantly, and it costs so much money now on reseller sites. And I, for one, am extremely upset about this, because there was a full-size body pillow of a chicken nugget. You can see it right here.
Oh my God. But it's not one of the cool shapes.
Do you think it's pictured like a?
I bought this shit instantly.
Do you have it?
No, okay. Because it's still saying order received. We'll let you know when it ships. And it said for a month and a half now. I ain't getting my nugget. I ain't never getting my nugget.
You're going to get it.
Somebody stole it somewhere, right? If one day I open my door and there's just a chicken nugget.
To
be clear, this was going to be Moose's bed. I bought this nugget to be Moose's bed. It's big, dude.
Wow.
It's like a body pillow. So anyway, I'm kind of upset about this. But anyways.
I mean, you can get
good
it.
For you,
it,
Travis Scott.
Is it textured like a chicken nugget is what I want to know.
I don't think so.
Because that would be great. That'd be amazing. If it was just flaky but soft on the inside, I'd be all about that. Again, sticking with PlayStation story number 3, The Last of Us Remastered loads way faster now. This is Adam Bankhurst at IGN. The Last of Us Remastered has received a new patch on PS4 that has seemingly reduced load times across the game, including cutting the load times of the game's first loading screen by over 70%. As reported by Kotaku, The Last of Us speedrunner Anthony Calabrese has noted that patch 1.11 has made it so, quote, loading screens are basically non-existent on PS4, end quote, for The Last of Us Remastered. This change has even saved him nearly 18 seconds in the David fight and appears to work for both SSD and HDD. YouTuber L. Analista DeBits also uploaded a video that shows the improved load times in action. Pre-patch, the first loading screen in The Last of Us Remastered took 1 minute and 30 seconds. With the new patch, load times for the same section appear to be 13 seconds. This is cool. I imagine they did this based on them probably working on the PS5 version of the game, or at least like the boosted backwards compatible version. They've not really talked about a Last of Us proper PS5 version, but I imagine working for that, they're probably able to optimize it even more for the PS4 version, which is cool. Why not? That's awesome. Does this strike you as weird at all, or
what's up?
Does this strike you as weird at all?
I mean, it's not weird just in the sense of where this news is coming from. It's not like Sony's like touting this.
True.
You know what I mean? So it's just like that the only thing that would be weird about it is if Sony was making a big deal. I think it's cool, and I think you're right. Like, it must just be there's some behind the scenes stuff going on. They're like, oh, here's some patches to make the PS5 version run better. I'm so excited to see if these numbers are for the PS4 version. What's the PS5 gonna look like? That's exciting stuff, man. Next gen, we're here, baby.
It's here. Story number 4. I've titled this story Greg Miller's wet dream. Fortnite Jesus. Crosses over with Ghostbusters. Am I wrong?
You're not wrong, man. How much money has Greg Miller spent on Fortnite at this point? Because they just keep targeting him.
It like, really does feel
one
like
one by one, they're just like, here we go.
It feels like somebody at Epic is like, hey, like, somebody at Epic watches KFUD every day and watches PS Love You and just listens to Greg Miller, and they base all of their crossover decisions based on what they hear. Yeah. So yeah, Greg Miller is finally getting his Ghostbusters crossover. I have half a mind to call him right now, but we're running pretty late on the show, and so
fuck it.
Save time.
Do fuck it.
Let him do it, man. I want to hear his take.
We need his take, man. He's the only human being that can talk about Ghostbusters and Fortnite with any type of authority. All right?
Yeah, because I'll say I read this and I was like, cool. Like, that's dope for people who are into that. But I knew that Greg Miller was probably freaking out as that news was coming out.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see if he answers.
Halloween King Greg Miller, how are you, Blessing?
Jesus.
Oh, wait. You had a Freudian slip there. A Freudian slip? Freud?
Freud. You should have just hung up on him and been like, oh, wrong person.
You can't even say Freudian. What a horrible podcaster. This guy could never be king.
Greg, I don't know if you're listening to Kind of Funny Games Daily right now, but first of all, I want to say
I just referenced several things happening on this episode of the show.
Happy October. Happy Donktober, Greg. My favorite month of the year, first and foremost.
Of course, yes, of course. You love Donkey Kong. I'll never take that away. Yeah, if I can be the king of Halloween, you can be the king of Donktober.
Secondly, what's your reaction to this Fortnite Ghostbusters crossover?
Are you kidding me? Saturday, I dropped everything I was doing, and I was playing Redacted on Redacted. And let me tell you, the first thing I did was turn on that Switch because it was the closest unit. get in there and buy it all. And this was a big thing for me. I don't know if you know this, Blessing. Mm-hmm. If you would have gone on there on Saturday and you would have looked at this, that it was like Animorph style, because you could have bought for like 2,000 V-Bucks. The male Ghostbuster, or the female Ghostbuster, and then had like an array of different colors and faces for them. But I said, you know what? That's too many V-Bucks for old Greg Miller. I'm going to buy one of each. So one female, one male. And then I had to go through and decide the faces. I got that taken care of. And then you get the bundle pack. Dude, I got an Ecto Glider now. It looks like the Ecto-1 coming out of there. My back bling is the Proton pack. I got a Proton pickaxe. You can have a trap for your back bling, just the ghost trap. But we all know ghost traps aren't that big and shouldn't be worn as a back accessory. So I refuse to.
I understood almost nothing of what you said. All I heard was Animorphs, and then I started to fantasize about an Animorphs Fortnite crossover, and so I appreciate that.
It's got to be coming. They're getting another IP.
Greg Miller, thank you for your input. Happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween to you, Blessing.
Very exciting.
All right,
have a good one. What a guy. I wish he was more into the holiday, though.
Yeah.
What a guy. What do you mean happy Halloween? It's not Halloween yet.
It's Halloween week. Spirit. It's Halloween.
Halloween. Kevin.
Halloween.
Come on.
Greg Miller mentioned some of this, but to give you the details of it, Fortnite's latest crossover, and this is Adam Banghurst from IGN, Fortnite's latest crossover with pop culture has brought in the Ghostbusters-themed items to its item shop just in time for Halloween. Revealed on Twitter, this Ghostbuster crossover brings in character skins, Ghost Trap, which is what Greg was talking about, Ghost Trap and Proton Pack back bling, an Ecto Glider, and a Proton Pickaxe harvesting tool. As with most Fortnite cosmetics, these will most likely only be available for a limited time. These Ghostbuster skins join an ever-growing roster of fan favorites from franchises like Star Wars, Batman, Marvel, and so many more. And speaking of Marvel, story number 5, in more Fortnite news, expect even more Marvel integration. This is Jordan Alleman at IGN. Fortnite has, quote, many years of Marvel integration planned beyond the current Nexus War featured in Chapter 2, Season 4 of the game, and has years of general storytelling for the Battle Royale in the works. As reported by Eurogamer, Epic Games Studios worldwide creative director Donald Mustard revealed the news as a part of his appearance on episode 469 of this week in Marvel podcast. Quote, The reason we called this season Nexus War is that this is just the start of lots of stuff we have planned for Marvel, or for many years of Marvel integration, Mustard told the host. This is not the end. This is the beginning, end quote. Tim, you're not really a Fortnite guy. That's not really your jam.
No, but I appreciate it. I respect the hell out of it, man. The fact that they're doing it, I respect that. I know I love what Fortnite's doing for the industry, and I know there's a lot of naysayers about it all, but I think that it's super cool that they are constantly coming up with new crazy ideas. This Nexus War stuff is unbelievable. Like, it's the type of thing that if you were to go back in time and tell someone that this would happen, it's like, nah, that's like too good to be true. Add on top of that, the fact that we have Batman doing the blinding lights dance and all that shit. It's like, this is like a pop culture phenomenon on top of itself, where it just keeps kind of like exponentially multiplying, and Fortnite just refuses to stop being a moment. Like, it hasn't stopped having a moment since the Battle Royale stuff first dropped, right? Like, and it's constantly reinventing itself, maybe not necessarily just in the game, although that as well, but just from a marketing perspective of doing so many weird things. Travis Scott doing concerts.
Yeah. Well, like, in a weird way, then this is a weird analogy, but Fortnite kind of reminds me of Travis Scott in terms of all the ways in which they are paving new avenues in which to go about these partnerships and these crossovers and these cool things, right? Like, you know, crossovers aren't a new thing for video games by any means, right? Like, crossovers have been around forever. But the way in which Fortnite has established itself as this platform for which anything can be a part of it, right? Like, we can watch Tenet in this thing, or we can play as the Avengers, or we can play as a Batman, or we can play as the Ghostbusters, or we can basically make form this to be whatever we want to be in this game, thus leading to cool events like this, right? Like, I'm all about that. I think that's really cool. I was a Fortnite person in 2018, and seeing it now blows my mind. Like, seeing all the different things that they've been able to put into the game and cross the game over with, I think is fantastic. And again, like, it's making me want to get back into Fortnite. Granted, I don't have the time, so I probably won't, but they're doing their job. They're making me think about it, you know, which is
totally
the most I can say about it. Tim, I'm really excited to get into the next news story. But before we do, I want to remind folks that if they want to get the show ad free, they can go to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. And speaking of ads, this episode of Kind of Funny Games Daily is brought to you by Amazon Alexa. I'm always looking for ways to make my life easier. We're all juggling too much. So the ability to offload even the smallest tasks can make a difference. One convenience that I can't believe I lived without: smart bulbs connected to Alexa. And right now, Amazon Alexa is offering a special smart lighting bundle for our listeners. Kind of Funny loves Amazon Alexa and their smart lighting. Let me tell you, if you've been watching Kind of Funny Games Daily and any other Kind of Funny game show, the video version, you see the lights behind me. Let me tell you, I love those things. I got them when I moved here, and I've connected them to my Amazon Echo Dot via Alexa. And every time I use them, I feel cool. Like, I can change colors, I can turn them off, I can turn them on. It is really a cool experience, and it makes gaming on my TV back there really cool, because I was playing Persona 5 Royal, let me tell you, had the red lights on behind it. And let me tell you, if you thought that game was stylish before, so it's even more stylish now. So shout out to that. With an Amazon smart lighting bundle, you can turn your home into a smart home in just minutes. Setup is easy, and you don't need any extra equipment. Just connect your new smart bulb to the Echo Dot, and you're all set. Set every possible mood with over 16 million lights, light colors to choose from. Or control the lights in your home with the sound of your voice. Just say, Alexa, turn on the lights, and then Alexa will turn on the lights. You can also set lighting routines to gently wake you up in the morning, help you wind down at night, or completely turn off at a certain time. Right now, you can get 20% off your Amazon Smart Lighting Bundle only at amazon.com/kfgames. Every bundle includes an Echo Dot smart speaker and a Singled color-changing light bulb. That's 20% off at amazon.com/kfgames, but hurry, this offer ends October 31st. amazon.com/kfgames. We're also brought to you by Upstart. During these economically turbulent times, everyone is looking for a way to feel more financially secure. So if you're still needlessly throwing money every month at high interest credit card debt, it's time you checked out Upstart, the revolutionary online lending platform that knows you more than just a credit score. Now's the time to find out how low your Upstart rate can be to help pay off high interest credit card debt. Unlike other lenders, Upstart can reward you based on your education and job history in the form of a smarter rate. You don't need a degree or diploma to apply, though. Upstart lets you skip going to the bank because it's completely online. They offer loans from $1,000 to $50,000, so you can consolidate your debt into one easy fixed rate payment. Upstart makes it fast and simple to check your rate. Since it's just a soft pull, it won't affect your credit score. The hard pull happens if you accept your rate and proceed with your application. The best part, if the loan is approved and accepted, most people get their funds the very next business day. Over 400,000 people have used Upstart to pay off credit cards or meet their financial goals. Free yourself from the burden of high interest credit card debt and get back to using your money your way with Upstart. See why Upstart has over 6,000 five-star reviews on Trustpilot, and hurry up to upstart.com/KFGames to find out how low your Upstart rate can be. Checking your rate only takes a few minutes. That's upstart.com/KFGames. Your loan amount will be determined based on your credit, income, and certain other information provided in your loan application. Not all applicants will qualify for the full amount. Lastly, we're brought to you by Hims. 4hims.com is all about men's wellness. We all know the story. Andy and Nick wanted to maintain their own wellness, so they looked to Hims for help keeping their hair full and healthy. We can confirm they've been loving it ever since. Through Hims, you can get the prescription medication that treats erectile dysfunction. Real science, real solutions. This could cost you hundreds of bucks if you had to go through a doctor or pharmacy. Not so with Hims. Hims makes it simple and affordable. No embarrassing conversations, no expensive appointments. Just answer a few questions online about your medical history, and a provider will confidentially review. If approved, your medication is shipped directly to your door in discreet packaging, and shipping is free. No more searching online for answers to questions about erectile dysfunction or sexual wellness. Just go to your Hims account and ask a medical professional you can trust. Try Hims today by starting out with a free online visit. Go to 4hims.com/funnygames for your free visit. That's 4hims.com/funnygames. That's forhims.com/funnygames. Prescription products are subject to medical provider approval and require an online consultation with a medical provider who will determine if a prescription is appropriate. See website for full details and safety information. Remember, that's 4hims.com/funnygames.
Story number six.
Deleting Facebook wipes out Oculus purchases. This is from Marie De Alessandri at gamesindustry.biz. Deleting a Facebook account that is linked to an Oculus VR headset will wipe out all Oculus purchases and information as well. The information was first reported by a user on Twitter who shared the following warning message that appears when trying to delete a Facebook account. Quote, deleting your Facebook account will also delete your Oculus information. This includes your app purchases and achievements. You will no longer be able to return any apps and will lose any existing store credits, end quote. I see what they're saying there. However, UploadVR reported that owners of the original Quest headset, Rift and Rift S, who haven't linked their Oculus account to Facebook yet, can delete their information on the social network without consequences on their VR purchases. Having a Facebook account to use an Oculus headset has been made mandatory for new users from October 2020, including for the recently released Oculus Quest 2. Oculus account support will be ending for all headsets on January 1st, 2023. Several VR players have reported issues with linking their headset to Facebook, with accounts specifically created for this purpose reportedly suspended soon after their creation, making it impossible to use the VR headset. Facebook also recently said that Oculus users who violate Facebook rules may lose access to VR content. This applies to using a pseudonym instead of a real name, among various other violations. And I remember seeing a story a few weeks ago of a person who bought an Oculus Quest 2, wanted to use it, but couldn't use it at all because I believe their Facebook account was banned. Like they just weren't able to use Facebook, thus breaking their Oculus system, which is wild. This is very unfortunate. I do not like this as somebody who really likes using my Oculus Quest 1. I still have my Oculus account. I'm holding off as long as possible before I can transfer it to transfer it to Facebook. And even when I get to that threshold, which is 2023, once it forces me to switch to Facebook, that might be the last time I use Oculus, if I'm being very frank and honest. I don't want to be a part of that.
Yeah, you used to talk a lot of shit on Facebook. I remember that, Bless. I remember you in the Facebook group in the early days when you had your little baby Bless picture. You were popping off left and right all the time. Oh, yeah. I remember.
I was very active in the Kind of Funny Facebook group, but I'm not active as much anymore just because I've stopped using Facebook. And I wish I could stop using Facebook completely. Like, the one thing that's keeping me to Facebook is family, and that's about it. Like, if I didn't have family that relied on using Facebook for communication or whatever the events and whatever the things may be, I'd be off of Facebook because I just don't like it as a platform. The fact that they're integrating so hard with Oculus, very unfortunate. I hope that they change their minds. You know, I hope that they see enough pushback to where where they're just like, okay, fuck it. Like, let's bring back Oculus accounts. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, I don't know if that's going to happen. I don't necessarily think that's going to happen. But
have you seen the documentary that came out on Netflix a couple of weeks ago called The Social Dilemma?
Yes. I brought it up on the show, I think, a couple weeks ago. Yeah.
Me and G watched half of it last night. It's fantastic. What a great documentary. Like, I love the style of it, and it is just relentless of just like going there and saying some crazy wild shit. And you're like, man, there's some fucked up stuff going on.
It's terrifying because The Social Dilemma is basically a documentary that is about all the things that I think we're all very aware of that social media does and the way it works and all this stuff. It's stuff that we all, I think, know, but it lays it out in a way where seeing it put into context, you're like, oh shit, yeah, I guess things are kind of fucked up. And they're interviewing people that worked at Facebook, worked at Twitter, the people responsible for the like button. And they all are like, yeah, dude, we did this stuff in like 2006, 2007, 2008, and we did not understand the ramifications down the line. We did not understand the mental health issues that would arise. We didn't understand the reliance that people would have on these things. We didn't realize that, or we didn't understand the effect of selling personal data to advertisers and what that does to the algorithm. We didn't understand the feedback loop that then has on mental health and how people respond to that. It is terrifying, and people should watch it, like, just to be aware.
People definitely should watch it because it's really well put together. One thing I will say, though, is it is very manipulative, as documentaries tend to be, of trying to get you to feel a certain way. And I was joking with G, where I was like, if every single scene, every time there's an interview, there's like this really kind of scary, dark, morbid music in the background. And like, there's always just kind of atmospheric, dark tones of just like hums and shit. I wonder if there was like uplifting music underneath the documentary, if it would totally change the way they're saying stuff, where it'd be like, it would sound like, oh, all the stuff we're doing is really awesome and cool. And how crazy is it that we can bring all these people together? And it's just like, they know what they're doing. They do it very well.
It's definitely framed almost like a horror movie, like in terms of the music and the tone and all that stuff. But yeah, like I highly recommend people check it out. Of course, like it's I think it's a very good watch. It's a very well put together thing too. Like as far as production goes. Story number 7, Ghost Runner. Reviews are out, and we have a review roundup for you. Of course, Ghost Runner is like the fast paced first person. I don't even know what to call it, like slasher kind of game. Kevin, I have a trailer if you want to show
Mirror's Edge,
people.
Right? It's Mirror's Edge, but neon.
Mirror's Edge, but neon, and you're doing like a lot of slicing and dicing. Right now, it's sitting at an 83 on Metacritic and an 86 on OpenCritic. Mitchell Saltzman at IGN gave it an 8 out of 10 and says, with its breakneck pace and skill-heavy gameplay, Ghost Runner is a speedrunner's dream. But even beyond that demographic, this is a great first-person action game that feels punishing but fair. You may die hundreds of times, but instantaneous respawns and generous checkpointing ensure that Ghost Runner's challenging combat and platforming never become a chore. Anthony Marzano at Destructoid gave it an 8.5 and said, as I played through the roughly 8-hour campaign this week, I couldn't shake the feeling that I was playing the Unholy Union of Hotline Miami and Mirror's Edge that I didn't know I was missing in my life. Through all the frustration and cursing at myself for screwing up something that I knew I should have gotten right, I was still having a blast and loving every minute of the game. Though the story is complete for me, I'll most assuredly be returning to this to see how well I can hone my cyberpunk ninja skills. And then lastly, Mike Epstein at GameSpot gave it a 7 and says, when Ghost Runner rips, it really rips. While running, jumping, sliding, and cutting through enemies as you go is empowering and impressive. For a good portion of the game, you'll only experience how impressive it feels to dart around a room in short bursts. But even that's enough motivation to keep you pushing forward to master the art of robot ninja parkour. There's bound to be a lot of frustration along the way, so it isn't all smiles exactly, but the rush you feel in the moment as you perfectly run a room is worth the grit. I'm all about this. I've been very excited for Ghost Runner. I'm excited to check it out. Where is my review code? Where is it? Because I want to play it. I want to know.
Hey, these are awesome reviews. I honestly didn't think the game was going to hit this high. So that's really good news.
Yeah. It's sitting at what I said earlier, an 80, 83, 86 on OpenCritic and Metacritic. And yeah, that's very good. Like that makes me even more excited to check it out. So that's what I plan to do this week. Lastly, story number 8. Kevin, you can pull this up. Microsoft sent Snoop Dogg an Xbox Series X fridge for his birthday.
Mm-hmm.
That's the news story. That's really cool.
Big chillin'. That's big the news story.
Yeah.
Hey, does it? Do we see him open it though?
Yeah, they do open
it. Sweet green glow.
I'm all about this. This is them leading into the meme. If you remember when they first revealed the Series X at Game Awards, everybody was like, "This thing looks like a fridge." And lo and behold, inside the fridge, they have a cake that is also a Series X for Snoop Dogg, which is really cool. A bunch of drinks, some orange juice, some water there.
Does Snoop Dogg have his own alcohol?
Probably. That sounds like something Snoop Dogg would have. Yeah.
He'll make a lot of money on that.
You'll love to see it, man.
Mm-hmm. You'll love to see it. Snoop Lion, you know?
Mm-hmm. God, can you imagine how annoying the green light's going to get?
Or also, cool. I wish my fridge had a green light.
Kev,
you want me to get in there?
I think you might need to get Bless a green light in his fridge.
That's easy to do. The candelabra. Also, what's going on? Do you see that behind him?
No, what's up?
That doesn't look like it's a house.
He does look like he's in a studio.
Yeah,
of some sort.
So is this just all fake? There's a giant green screen too.
Snoop Dogg's
not. What are you implying, Kevin?
Snoop Dogg's not going to have a fridge in his house like this. And that hurts my
feelings. I'm sure Snoop Dogg's fridge. I don't think anybody can send a fridge to Snoop Dogg that'll probably be better than the fridge Snoop Dogg already has. Snoop Dogg already has a fridge that is probably dope as fuck.
There's some people that I don't feel like they went out and bought like the best fridge they could. They bought a dope house with a dope fridge in it. It didn't have green lights and it didn't look like an Xbox. That's all I'm saying.
Do you know what Snoop Dogg is known for? Smoking that dope. Do you know what happens when you smoke that dope?
You get hungry?
You get hungry. You think Snoop Dogg isn't keeping the best amenities in his fridge?
I guarantee you he has the biggest fucking pantry you've ever seen. Fucking pantry. He's got all the best chips, every candy you want. But I'm telling you, he's got a normal fridge until today, hopefully.
No way. That is a second or third fridge for Snoop Dogg. He's keeping that at his personal studio, or he's keeping that at I don't know where he was in that video. It seems like he has his own Hollywood studio. He's keeping that at a third place. That's not at his home. Guaranteed.
What is Snoop Dogg known for? Long pause. Smoking that dope. What a show we've been having here.
What a great episode.
Good Lord.
Tim, I'm really excited to see who else gets an Xbox Series X fridge, but that reveal is probably so far away. If I want to know what's coming out to Mom and Grop shops today, where would I look?
The official list of upcoming software across each and every platform is listed by the Kind of Funny Games Daily Show host each and every weekday.
Out today, we got Gnome More War for Switch. Let me say that again. Gnome, like those guys that are out in the plants in the front yard. Gnome More War for Switch. And then Under Depths of Fear for PC. New days for you.
Bless, I wish I could give you stars. You deserve a couple stars today.
Thank you. I appreciate it. It's been a fun day. I really enjoyed this episode. New dates. Experience the award-winning adventure. Sekiro Shadows Die Twice Game of the Year Edition. All players will receive a free update. That includes new boss challenge modes, player recordings, and unlockable skins available globally on October 28th at 10 a.m. Pacific time. Apex Legends is officially coming to Steam when Season 7 launches on November 4th, 2020. The Nintendo Switch version of the game has been delayed until next year. And then this is from Jordan Allman at IGN. I almost made this a news story, but there's so much news today that I decided not to. A timed PlayStation exclusive Call of Duty Black Ops Cold War mode has been revealed by Activision, titled Zombies Onslaught. Unveiled in a post on the PlayStation blog, Zombies Onslaught is a two-person, fast-paced zombies experience and will be a timed exclusive for PlayStation 4 and PlayStation 5 owners of Call of Duty Black Ops Cold War. Those who own the game on PC or Xbox One or Xbox Series X and S will have to wait until November 1st, 2021 to get access to the new mode. And so it's just like the Spec Ops mode that we got last time that everybody was very upset about. The same thing is happening again with this new Zombies Onslaught mode. And so get ready to hear about that. Deal of the day coming to Xbox Game Pass. Cardo on console and PC is coming October 27th. Day of the Tentacle remastered October 29th. Five Nights at Freddy's is coming October 29th, again on Android, console, and PC. Full Throttle Remastered coming out on October 29th on console and PC. And the next few, I'm just going to say, are October 29th. Grim Fandango Remastered, console, PC. PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds, Android. Scourgebringer, Android. Unruly Heroes, Android, console, and PC. On November 5th, we're getting Celeste on Android, console, and PC. And then Comanche on PC. Deep Rock Galactic on Android, console, and PC. East Shade, Android, console, and PC. Knights and Bikes, console, and PC. And then on November 17th, we're getting Ark Survival Evolved Explorers Edition on Android, console, and PC. Tim, usually this is where we get into reader mail, but we're running late on the show. But I do want to let one viewer know, all right? We have a Patreon supporter named Connor Strong, who I really appreciate. Connor Strong has been writing in almost daily to the show, asking for our thoughts on a new Jack game. Like, what do we want from Jack 4? Do we think they're working on Jack 4, et cetera, et cetera? I want to let Connor Strong know that we answered your question like a week and a half ago. Me and Sancho West on that episode in the post show went into what we'd want from Naughty Dog and a Jack 4 and all that stuff. And so if you want the answer to your question, Connor Strong, check out that post show with me and Sancho West. All right. And if it's not to your satisfaction, feel free to keep writing in, you know. Shout out to you, though, for the dedication, because I appreciate that kind of dedication. We have no squad up today, which means we're going directly into kindoffunny.com/you're wrong, where you write in, let us know what we got wrong as we got it wrong. Kebabs writes in with breaking news. No Man's Sky has gotten a Halloween update, so shout out to that. DH Ruvenator says, there are so many next-gen updates for Gears 5 coming at Series X launch, including DLC in December. Then 120 FPS in multiplayer and a lot of visual upgrades. So there you go. I don't know if that's a you're wrong, but I guess it's missed news. From the nanobiologist, for Tim, according to the Travis Scott presser, the Nugget Pillow takes 9 to 12 weeks to ship.
So there's hope.
Yeah. No,
I might get the Nug. Hold on, let me look at something.
How long ago did you get it?
September 9th. Hmm. We're looking good, boys.
Yeah, you're looking good.
One day I'm going to get that ring-a-ding-ding, and it's going to be a big old nugget for Moose. Hell yeah.
Did you do the orgy thing yet?
But I'll believe it when I see it. The hedgehogs have arrived. The orgy is going down tomorrow.
Multiple people.
On his six-month birthday.
What did I miss?
A dog orgy. A dog's gonna fuck a bunch of stuffed animals.
I heard about this.
Yeah, it's gross.
I forget. You told me about this at the meeting.
It ain't right.
I think it's right.
I love Sad Boy Bear. What orgy?
Dogs deserve love.
Turns out, co-founder's a pervert. Likes watching his dog fuck all these hedgehogs. It's a Sonic thing.
Better than what Joe Budden was doing the other week. That's a very inside joke, you guys. For people who know, if you know, you know. A lot of people are writing in about Snoop Dogg and his gin line called Indogo, and so Indago. And so yeah, Snoop Dogg has a gin line. A lot of people are letting me know that.
Gin? Gross.
A lot of people are letting me know that
gin and juice, guys. Come on. When you opened the fridge, there was gin and there was gin.
Yeah, that's real smart, Tim.
So smart. No, that was great. Ooh. That was real good.
Oh,
Tim's gone.
He left.
Tim said,
"That's funny, Tim."
I just seen also unboxed fridge, which I knew. I just, yeah. And that's about it, ladies and gentlemen. That has been Kind of Funny Games Daily. Your hosts for this week look like this. Tomorrow it's Imran and Fran. Wednesday it's Greg and Gary Widow. Thursday it's Tim and Greg, and then Friday it's Greg and me back at it like a bad habit. Of course, this. Ooh. It's Kind of Funny Games Daily, each and every weekday at live right here on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. We run you through the nerdy news you need to know about. We have a Patreon post show for those that are subbed at the silver level of patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. So stick around for that. Otherwise, until next time, it's been our pleasure to serve you. Game Daily.